The Legacy and the Spire. A Note on the Importance of Authentic Education. Preface. I aim to remind you not to be tricked into not leaving a profound legacy, both for the benefit of your family and humanity. A legacy of your own making, one that you earned by facing hard challenges in life, so that not until it came to last of your days, you discovered that you didn't need to end, that you could transform into voice and wisdom with the power of narrated books. This is not about a childish fear of dying, but honoring those who care about you. I am asking you not to get tricked out of leaving a profound legacy. Personally, I have unfinished business, it seems, and I don't know where it started or where it will end. But I do know that it is important, both within and without. It appears to be a duty I have. I dare say we may each have a similar duty related to authentic education out in the real world. For somewhat strange events led me here. Here they are, in order. Some strange mother thought it would be cute to raise her young boy, now a man, believing that fairies were real. And I heard him explain that they were stealing sugar in his house. This made me very sad. Each of those four events made me sad and left a lasting impression. A congregation once got bused to a wilderness I was staying at, and a bonny lass thought to convert a lonesome heathen as he sat alone, far and away from humanity. Our conversation ended when she said in front of her boyfriend that her boyfriend may end up cheating on her, but the god of the fantasy that she was born into never would. She, of course, didn't put it this way, and I don't know what religion she belonged to. Then two brothers raised by a religious mother got very upset when I told them that the world was not ending. Both of them were kind of spiteful. The short one said that he just needed to get a wife, like she was some kind of a doll. And the tall one ended up hitting his head when I explained that nuclear power is not evil. It's not the sign of the end of times. The very gold he wore around his neck came from the center of a second-generation star, a nuclear reactor, where Earth's life emerged to a third-generation star, or our sun. He did not like that. And the fourth is my own curse. I failed all my classes because I rejected teachers calling me stupid. I rejected pretending to learn by memorization. I rejected acting for grades. I wanted to learn math and the sciences the way I learned programming. And not a single teacher tried to stop himself from marking me down for thinking on my own. I call this my unfinished business. Now, with Mr. Dennett having passed away, with Sir Ken Robinson and Mr. Hitchin still breaking my heart, I think we all have unfinished business. and whether we will see a cure for aging in our lifetimes or not bears little consequence on the body of work that we are each charged with. Whether it becomes a legacy or not, it's still extremely important and our daily duty. We must each build a personal monument to share the best of our uncontradictory wisdom. I think, nay, let me tell you what it is precisely. It is a matter of dignity. It is a matter of decency. And it is a matter of love of life and caring about those who care about us. It's not optional. My private opinion is that the best part of our legacy is assuring those who enjoy our presence that we are as close as a link to an audiobook that captured the best of our ideas. And the more books we write, the higher the height we help others too. Like becoming a philosopher, the body of work that captures your ideas is not optional. And you better make sure that as adventurers take you on adventure, whether you are still around or they reignite your spirit by exploring your narrated books, that when they return from their adventure, they will stand taller precisely because of what you help them remember or learn. Without further ado, the legacy and the spire. A spire is a neat representation of inheritance and growth. You can view it as the progress humanity has made, the giants upon whose shoulders we stand, and that there is still more to come. A spire also represents a person's personal growth, well on top of their intellectual inheritance, as they add more and more so that those who follow can rise higher. But this is not all positive, because at the same time, you can also imagine the height of a person who did not rise to the shoulders of giants, or whose education was subverted and made irrelevant, ineffective, inferior, or just meaningless. And even more than that, a spire is a reminder that we must all grow all the way up and discover that as we each bring light to new heights, the end of our rise will never be in sight. Each generation will begin where the previous retired and rise to heights that the previous generation could not yet imagine. You can see how cowboys could have difficulty imagining portable computers. They could very well grasp a wireless telegraph, but a smartphone requires more than they could leap. Very strange things happen when you ask, what if a person from 1776 was born today? Because then you realize they would be just like the rest of us. And what if a person from today was tricked to grow up in a simulated theatrical 1776 time period, somewhere far and away from planes and technology? You see, they would have trouble with their imagination. Their imagination would be pulled back, yanked into the past. They would not be able to imagine a smartphone. The best they would know is a wired telegraph. This is the difference observation and education makes. It has the power to rewrite a person's mind. For example, teaching a child that eventually they will go to heaven and meet their entire family, at a time when very big and powerful companies are bringing artificial intelligence language models to biology, is becoming ever more questionable, especially that AI accelerates progress from decade by decade to month by month. And no, unlike with music generation, where the AI does not understand the notes, our bodies are different. They are not composed by some composer. They are emergent. They are chaos, just like the large language models. They are compatible technologies. And this here is just the bare beginning. Shortcuts, you see, always come at a price. And sometimes as terrible as a person giving up on longevity therapy for some fantasy that they were told in their childhood. We are each charged with teaching clarity and clear thinking. Even more down to earth, raising a child under any religion alters how they view the world and what questions they ask. It happens. In a way, human beings are somewhat simple. We are each capable of rising out of whatever we were born into. But we need that education. We need to be able to freely observe the most modern of cultures and to get at those narrated books. Without that, the person will have trouble growing up. Religions reshape children's natural curiosity, perhaps making them more territorial. And certainly less prone to asking the big questions and following their own curiosities. The very things that uniquely define who they are. As to big questions, we are here due to the endless complexity of the universe. It's a really big place. The experiment of life is happening in many places everywhere under many various conditions. We can be sure that emergence of life is never guaranteed, and that accidents that Murray Gell-Mann mentions must be of just the right kind, and of course, luck is required, as the word accident hints. That is more than just the fundamental principles of physics, chemistry, and biology. Things have to be just right for life to emerge. And when we consider this, we grasp how many times the experiment of life, and likely the universe, had failed. To paraphrase Edward P. Tryon. There is no mystery here. On January 7th, in 1610, Galileo observed the moons of Jupiter. Moons like our moon, just about 60 years after the publication of Copernicus' revolutions. In 1616, 6 years later, the leading religion at the time declared heliocentrism as formally heretical. The Revolutionibus was banned until 1758. So on January 7th in 1610, another world with moons was observed. And not until 1758, 140 years later, did that church unban the book. The shortcut of a simple universe in favor of humanity yanked us and human progress back 150 years. Giordano Bruno, an early adopter of the revolutions, simply connected that the stars and the sun are bright and probably the same. With his simple and beautiful guess, he predicted the existence of exoplanets. Deemed too heretical in all his beliefs, he was burned by small-minded men 10 years before Galileo Galilei observed the moons. That our children are unsure if religion is real or not, and that people gamble, saying that it is better to believe in gods just in case, as in Pascal's wager, it is an insult to the giants upon whose shoulders we stand today. There is no such thing as Republican, Democratic, left or right child, and there shouldn't be such a thing as a child of a particular religion, as Richard Dawkins explains. Parents, families, and congregations do not have the right to rewrite brains. And when they dabble in the warping of a mind, they give up more than they can possibly imagine. Marx wrote that religion is the opium of the people, and I add that the price for shortcuts is immeasurably great as children get derailed from who they really were supposed to become. For our minds to properly function, our beliefs must be well connected and free of contradiction. Driving shortcuts and fantasies into a person's mind, be it fairies or gods, is the tool of the slavers. In their hate and madness, they actually kept the fact that cities existed a secret. And then uttered that terrible phrase that a learned servant is a no good servant. A phrase that because of shortcuts, arrogance and ignorance is used today by now cunning manipulators, but now redecorated as education is white. Tolerance of ineffective education or intolerance of education is a terrible curse that yet again will yank humanity back entire centuries. There was once a battle raging for clarity of thought, but each time the attacker came close to losing, it assumed a more pleasing shape. This is the same battle and the great legacy that brought us schools and separation between church and state. There is much more to the unbanning of the revolutionibus than the mere call to celebration of the progression of the zeitgeist. It is a war strategy, in a war so petty that it is simply unbelievable that it should exist. A war about a little bit of coin from a great number of people kept in the darkness of fear. You might have noticed that we have come a full circle from the last century, again facing a nuclear war. Well, this time it's three, actually. What was once a deterrent is now on the menu, as it is better understood, and presumably somewhat cleaner, in the small minds of stupid and primitive men. This is not the work of nations or leaders or men of any greatness. It is a symptom of the parasite of uneducation. We got the schools going, but We did not finish building them in such a way so that they became effective. We failed at providing individualized instruction and instead ceased at tricking the kids into memorization and pretending to learn. Once it starts, the wish to win a war, to survive, to keep fighting, is a noble and dignified one. But it does nothing to grant meaning to that war itself. Because what is preventable today, once it occurs out of ignorance, will forever be a product of it, and thus never gain any true meaning at all. It will be all for nothing. Finally, there is a large intellectual inheritance waiting for you at the library, without which your thinking will not be as clear as it should be. All of the books worth your time are free and well narrated. Each of those books begs you that you take a long, relaxing vacation to properly hear it and absorb it. They demand nothing of you, but that you grow. They just want to give. Like all the thoughts in your mind are connected, so are your children to your ways. The clearer your thinking, the higher their start on the spire, the shorter the journey to the top, where they can now add another layer so that others may rise higher. It is time to lay the shortcuts aside and accept the responsibility for a powerful body of knowledge. Your life must not end on your final day. That day should mark a new beginning to a new existence of the new you, the great legacy that you now leave behind and others can replay as they miss you. Do not just leave the world in silence. Leave the best of you for those who will miss you in the shape of narrated books. Books you should narrate with your own voice so that you are always there when needed. Therefore, grow. Rise all the way up until you become a great being, laying down a path for others to begin where you leave off.